I would like to study with you tonight about the problem of temptation, something that often occurs in our life. And I'd like to turn to James chapter 1 to start with, as we consider the fact that temptation is something that happens to all of us. And as we think about temptation, it's somewhat difficult. I know the Bible does not condemn us because we are tempted. But from our own self-will, sometimes we cross the line and do those things that are not supposed to be done. So I'd like to look at James chapter 1, and let me see the verse. I had it marked. Pardon me just a moment while I find the verse. All right, I want to start with verse 12. James 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And try to put that in terms that we can recognize. I think of a man going fishing. You have a fish somewhere down in the water. He may be by a stump or under some brush or whatnot, but you have a lure. And you put that lure out under the water and pull it through the water. And if the fish sees it, he thinks it's something he wants. But there's a hook attached. And that's what temptation does to us. In that, sometimes we have desires that arise within us that are not good, and the devil is pulling a hook in front of our eyes, and we're not commanded that we have to sin. At any given moment of our life, we don't have to sin, and so I can say no to temptation. But the problem is, I don't always resist temptations as I should. Hoping that the overhead works tonight. I've been having some trouble here. Maybe it'll come up eventually. But we're talking about when temptation comes. When temptation does come, we have to fight those things. But temptation is something that can happen unexpectedly. It can happen at times when we're thinking about something else, and the devil pulls a lure in front of our face, and we have to recognize this. So sometimes we have temptation when we're not where we're supposed to be. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, the record tells us that David had stayed in his palace. The army had gone out to fight. It was during the time of year when they had fighting. And David had not gone with his army. His army was fighting for him, but he stayed home. And as he stayed home, the Bible says he walked out on his roof during the evening and looked across at another roof, and there was Bathsheba, bathing. And the temptation arose. And that chapter says that David took her to himself and committed adultery. And so here's a place where sometimes temptations happen when you're not where you're supposed to be. Now, a Christian really has to think about this. If we're in the Lord's Supper or in the Lord's Assembly during Sunday, we're not as apt to sin as we are going to a football game or something like that. We have to think about where we're supposed to be and make it a point that when we see something, as the Old Testament said, David said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. And we must not break that covenant. When I see something that is wrong, I have to turn away from it. And you say, well, you know, you go to the mall and you see all this stuff out there. That's true. You can see almost anything at the mall or walking down the street today. But like someone said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest in your hair. And so when temptation arises, we have to resist that temptation, and that's what we have to do. Then sometimes it can happen where we are supposed to be. If you'll turn in Genesis chapter 39, we'll notice some things about where we're supposed to be, and then at the same time, sin can arise. In chapter 39 of the book of Genesis, beginning of verse 1, we have the story of Joseph. And Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. But God was with him. Through the providence of God, he was able to do a great deal. As you know, later in his life, he saved his family when the famine occurred. And they went down to Egypt for grain. And there was Joseph, who had overcome all the temptations. But the Bible tells us that he was sold into slavery. He was working at Potiphar's house. So he was doing what he was supposed to do. But Potiphar's wife tried to entice him. And as he ran from her, she grabbed his cloak and accused him of trying to seduce her. And he was put in prison because of that. So sometimes when you're where you're supposed to be, on the job or in home or someone else, the devil can rear its ugly head and put temptation in your way. Now, I want to emphasize again that temptation in itself is not sin. It's how we react to that temptation. And as we look at this, Joseph was able to resist temptation and flee from it. That didn't save him because of the wickedness of his master's wife, but nevertheless, Joseph was able to overcome by the providence of God. So sometimes sin will happen to you, or temptation will happen to you, when you are where you're supposed to be. It's like especially at home, you can watch the television, all kinds of things. Sometimes I think a television, and I know we look at them for news and various events, but at the same time, sometimes it's like filth. It's just pouring out of the television into your living room or den or wherever your television is. There's no kind of moral compass with regard to those who produce television programs. So you can be where you're supposed to be, and then something like that can lead into temptation. We have to watch for that. Then we look from Jesus' illustration in Matthew chapter 4. As he was tempted by the devil. And the Bible very eloquently talks about Jesus and his temptation. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights before he was tempted. And I understand that to mean that he was letting himself be weakened so that even in a weakened condition he could overcome sin. And each time the devil said something to him about worshiping him or doing things that were wrong, Jesus quoted, "It is written." And so when we're weak, sometimes the devil can approach us with things, whether it's discouragement or what it might be. It may be that we're weak spiritually sometimes because of events that happen to us in our life. And at the same time, we have to have the understanding of Jesus. The devil doesn't quit. And I've learned from bitter experience that the devil never says, "I'll leave you alone for a while." Temptation is always there. It may be hidden sometimes. It may be subtle at times. But there is within me the ability to say no, but I don't always say no. And the problem is that, as James says, we sometimes go into sin because of that temptation. So if you're especially weak, either physically or spiritually, it's time to get help from someone. You can get help from the brethren. You can get help from a close friend. But we have to resist that temptation. Jesus showed us that he could withstand temptation even when he was weak. And I think he left us that example for a good, very good reason. That even though sometimes we become weak, we can still say no. And that's the magic word that turns us away from most temptations. Then sometimes when we are strong, temptation will arise. I want to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and read about King Uzziah. And as we have the record of the Bible about him, he was doing wonderfully well. I want to begin with verse 16. It talks in the first part of chapter 26 about how Uzziah was doing so many good things and how he had overcome so much and built so much. But he became very strong because of that. In verse 16, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. They withstood King Uzziah and said to him, It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of the place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And so you have this idea that he was a man who did a lot of good things to start with. He was king over the people of Judah. But then he got too big. He went to his head. He got big-headed. He got egotistical. And though he was strong, that very strength led him to do something that was not right. And sometimes you'll have strength like that in numbers. I remember when the church, I never can remember the name of town just south of here, back before TCU started, there was a congregation that was faithful to the Lord, and the young men decided we're going to have a piano put in. And the older people begged him, please don't do that. Please don't put that in. It's not scriptural. And he decided, because he had the numbers behind him, that he would do it anyway. And so one Sunday morning when the brethren came to worship, there stood a piano. I think they called it a melodeon in those days. And the brethren objected again, please don't do this. And he said, play on, Miss Bertha. Bertha was the name of the pianist. And so Miss Bertha began to play the instrument because she had the people behind her, and a lot of people got up and left. It split the church. And that was a major undertaking back in the 1800s, because many of the churches of the Lord have done that, and now they're doing it again. You find the big churches of Christ around the country, and they're putting in pianos again because they want to please the people. And it's, they have the numbers, they have the strength to do what they want to do, and so they ignore the Bible. Well, they need to learn a lesson from Uzziah and to recognize just because you're able to do something doesn't make it right. Just because you have a majority of people with you, that doesn't make it right. You have to go to the book, the testimony, and the covenant, and look for the book and the verse that talks about those things. So you have this temptation when we're not where we're supposed to be, like David was, when we are where we're supposed to be, like Joseph was, when we're weak, like Jesus. The temptations come during these times, and then like Uzziah, when we're strong. But then also it happens sometimes when you're angry. And of course, in our generation, when you're out in the car, you never get angry. You never have road rage. But you have the story in Genesis chapter 4 of Cain and Abel, and the fact that there was a sin that was committed. And as it was committed, it was when Cain was angry with the things that were taking place. In Genesis 4, beginning of verse 4, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not well, sin lies at the door. His desire is for you that you should rule over it. His desire is for you. That's a meaningful expression. When you're angry, sometimes you don't use common sense. You're abrupt. You make quick decisions because of your anger. And that was true with Cain. And of course, because Cain was not accepted by God. He was angry and later killed his brother. I hope you understand that the reason why God did not accept Cain's sacrifice is because it was not according to faith. Hebrews 11 says, by faith Abel offered. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So both Abel and Cain had been told what to offer. But Cain did not follow the instruction of God about that. He offered what he wanted to offer, and God did not accept that. The lesson in that is, just because we sometimes offer things to God that we think he would like, doesn't necessarily mean he's going to. He's revealed what he likes, and we have to be willing to look at that. And so the anger that he had led him to kill his own brother, the first death recorded in the Bible. It's a terrible thing to think about that and to recognize that one of the times the devil finds it easy to come at you is when you're angry, because you're not thinking clearly, because you want to do something to someone. And anger is very close to murder, as this illustration shows us. And so when we're angry, we have to be very careful, because that's one of the times the devil will come in and try to tempt us. Then when we're careless, the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about the man talking to his son and making sure that his son is understanding the things that are required of him. Turn to Proverbs chapter 7, and we'll look at some of the things that the Lord warns us about. In chapter 7, beginning with verse 6, and of course this is a long reading, we'll not read all of that, but it starts off in chapter 7 by saying, my son, keep my words and treasure my commands with you. And it's a father talking to a son about how to behave in this world. And so beginning with verse 6, he said, for at the window of my house I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner. And he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. With an impudent face she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I've paid my vows. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come and let us take our fill of love until morning. That's temptation. Now that can be either a man or a woman, and the Bible describes both situations. But when we're careless, and he was talking about a young man, and this father was talking to his son about the other young man and how careless he was, how foolish he was. And so sometimes when we're on vacation or sometimes we're doing something, we're just not thinking about spiritual thoughts, we may be careless about our words or careless about what we say and careless about where we go. And, pardon me, trying to sneeze and cannot. But anyway, you know, the world sort of helps us along with that. Like the expression is, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And so you can go to Las Vegas without committing a sin at all, but it's like a smorgasbord. It's out there. And if somebody's careless, you get caught up into something in a city like that. It's the sin city. It's called that by people in America because they know you go to Las Vegas and everything you want is there. If you want to be sinful, you can do it. And so you go out there and you're sort of careless. You're away from home. Nobody's going to see you except the Lord. And when we're careless, we forget that. And so someone goes out there and commits all kinds of transgressions, from gambling to adultery, because it's an atmosphere of carelessness that pervades that town. Now, you don't have to go to Las Vegas to have that attitude. You can have the same kind of attitude locally and be careless about what you do and what you say and where you go. And so temptation comes under these circumstances, and we have to recognize that. And so be of sober spirit, we're told, 1 Peter chapter 5. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, if you knew without a doubt that when you left this building tonight and you went outside, there's a lion out there. Or let's just say a mad dog. And when you go out there, you're going to be in his territory. Now, there's nothing holy in this territory except holy things take place here. But when you go out into the world, the Bible says that the prince of the powers of the air dominates the world. And so you've got an adversary, the devil. And the Bible calls him like a lion, a savage beast. Has no word of idea of taking care of you. He wants to devour you. That's the reality of sin that we need to understand and appreciate. And the devil is lurking. And he's sly, and he will tell lies like he did with Adam and Eve. God told Adam and Eve, the day you eat of this fruit, you shall die. And the devil said, you shall not die. He's that brazen. He's able to convince people of doing things that they're not supposed to do. And that's the life that we lead, isn't it? You go out into the world, and you're going to be hearing things and seeing things being done that you don't approve of, but there's always that edge of temptation that's there as well. Well, what to do when temptation comes? Peter says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He doesn't have a power to take you against your will. That's the one good thing that God has for us, in that he cannot take me against my will. My will is mine. And I can say to the devil, no. And the Bible says, if you resist him, he'll flee from you. So again in Matthew 4, every time the devil tempted Jesus, he said, it is written, get away from me, Satan. And we need to have that attitude. Sin is out there. It's everywhere. And you can see it, and you can feel it, and you can experience it if you want to. But the idea is that God has not made it where that I cannot resist the devil. And that's something I need to hold on to and recognize. And then we need to listen to the warnings about things. In 2 Samuel 11, when David inquired about Bathsheba, he was told, well, this is the wife of Uriah the Hittite. That should have been enough. In fact, I saw something on Facebook this week that said, God will never direct you toward another man's wife. And that's the simple truth, but that's the way it is. If you do something like that, it is because of sin that we've accepted and we've given in to the temptation. And so in 2 Chronicles, we also recognize the warning of the priest. And in Genesis chapter 4, God warned Cain. If you're angry, sin crouches at the door. If you're angry. And that tells us that sometimes when you're angry is when sin does occur to us. But we can master ourselves. Again, in Genesis chapter 4, God warned Cain that he could overcome that, and he didn't do it. Then in Romans chapter 6, there's an entire paragraph that deals with this idea of how we handle self-will. And it's so good to recognize that we have self-will. God does not make me obey him. The devil cannot make me do what he wants me to do. I can choose, and that's what I need to do. So begin in Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. Paul said, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in all its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God, being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. These are such good words to recognize that God has made provision for us to reject sin. I have in my power the ability at any given moment in my life to say no to sin. The trouble is, I don't always. I do sometimes commit a transgression. But I have the ability to be forgiven by God through the blood of Christ, and He's put us in a position of power over the devil. If we understand that, and we can have that because we live as we should. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, flee fornication, as Joseph did. Sometimes the situation is such that, I guess you'd say the cards are stacked against you. The situation is not good for you. And you're in a situation where you feel the temptation to do something. Get away from it if you have to run. Don't be ashamed to run. But in the running, you're resisting the devil. And the promise of God is when you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. He cannot overcome you against your will. How good that is to recognize and to understand. So when you look at temptation, again, it's out there. It's everywhere. You have all kinds of temptations. First of all, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These things are always out there. But as Jesus encountered those three sins in Matthew 4, He overcame them. 1 John chapter 2 talks about all that is in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And you know what it is. Paul told the Corinthians, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And that's exactly true. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. We just have a weak spirit sometimes. But we need to grow up in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us how to become mature Christians. And we need to encourage ourselves to be those kind of mature Christians who recognize sin. You can't hide from it, but you can recognize it. You can resist it, and the devil will flee from you. And that's so good to know, because we're alive in this world, and the devil is present in this world. He's the ruler of the powers of the air, the Bible tells us. I don't always understand what that is, except to know that the devil is everywhere today. He's in all the countries of the world. He's in Arlington. He's in my life. He's in your life. And we have to resist him. And when we resist temptation, we don't sin. So we have to have that courage and wisdom to act in such a way that we overcome the devil. If you're present tonight and you have let the devil into your life, if temptation has been clawing at you,